with Ali C.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Back with Micah Hanks, our guest for this week on the Paracast with Gene and Chris. We were focusing on folklore, modern and ancient folklore, Christian mysteries. What about Jewish mysteries? Are there any to talk about?
Oh, yeah, certainly. You know, we were talking about the mysticism section in my book, Magic, Mysticism, and the Molecule.
Sure.
The reason I took time to discuss mysticism and how that relates to altered states of consciousness is because there are so many reports of interesting Fortiana and the unexplained in mystic traditions, you know, from people around the world. There are cultural and religious interpretations of things which, you know, by all intents and purposes could be described in themselves as strange phenomena. I mentioned Christian mysticism. You know, and I use as a specific example, the Apostle Paul and his road to Damascus. That was an ecstatic experience, you know, where all of a sudden he was literally blinded and he described rising into the third heaven and meeting Christ, you know, very interesting. And that's very similar to, you know, some of the kinds of things that later have been described in the books of Terence McKenna and, Dr. Rick Strassman in his DMT studies. And when it comes to Jewish mysticism, you know, I've studied, obviously, one of my very favorite legends, truly, that I've loved and enjoyed for years and that has intrigued and fascinated me is that involving the so-called Golem of Prague, where the rabbi, the Maharal of Prague in the, I guess that was probably the 16th century, He had allegedly brought to life a man from mud, as described in the Hebrew Book of Formation. And this is, you know, going back, you know, even in Christian tradition, you know, the Bible, you know, the description of Adam being created, you know, was kind of the earliest example, you know, this creation of a man from mud. The Maharal, according to, and again, this is interpreted as a legend, although, you know, some, you know, mystic traditions accept this as being a true, you know, occurrence that actually happened. The Maharal of Prague allegedly created a man from mud, and Yoseli, I believe, was his name, the Golem of Prague, and he was created to defend, Jewish people who were being persecuted there in Prague toward the end of the 16th century, if I remember correctly. And in that tradition, this golem, was brought to life through, and I found this so fascinating. It's not so much literally creating a man from mud and then writing something on his forehead, you know, and bringing him to life. Some traditions hold that you write the word, I think it's Imech is how it's pronounced, on I think the word is Mech, that you would write on a piece of paper and put it in the golem's mouth or write it on his forehead. And then you add the E letter, Imech, if I'm pronouncing this correctly. My father's the Hebrew scholar. I'm trying to hammer my way through it here, but that would create, as opposed to the word life, death, and then hence deactivate the golem, according to what tradition that you follow of its creation. But it's interesting because the actual description of the creation of the golem was not so much the literal making of a man of mud and then, you know, turning a switch on his back and he gets up and starts walking around, a living automaton. This process had more to do with, and as described, I believe, in the Book of Formation, the creation of any golem is an intense, a very intense and focused meditation that creates kind of an ethereal form of a being in the spiritual sense that then takes residence in the body made of mud and brings it to life. And when I came across that, I was fascinated because in the Eastern traditions, typically,
right,
I think
tulpa.
That's right. The tulpa, you know, which, you know, Alexandra, David, Nail and others wrote about, from the Tibetan, mystic tradition and whatnot. And John Keel wrote about tulpas, even in the Mothman prophecies. That may have been a contemporary reference, you know, that began in the 60s and 70s in Western Fortiana and literature and whatnot. But the tulpa concept is the exact same sort of thing. You intensely focus and meditate on the creation of a god or a deity or an individual, and you literally create a physical manifestation of that. And the funny thing is that, you know, this is not a new concept when introduced into the realm of Fortiana and the unexplained. I think Jerome Clark and Lauren Coleman, I think, what year was that book, The Unidentified, published? There have been a number of people who over the years have supposed that maybe psychological projections and tulpas and things like that could account for some of the strange phenomena that we see. And that certainly seems to be worthy of consideration due to the interactive qualities that are often associated with strange phenomena. So often people describe being able to either communicate with lights and things that they see, or they feel that they're able to telepathically communicate. I've even heard stories of people saying when they saw a Bigfoot that these things could communicate telepathically. I've also heard a number of instances where people say that the Sasquatch is appearing. They see it. It's flesh and blood. It's walking away, and it vanishes, disappears into thin air. You know, these reports are often discluded, or people laugh when they hear these kinds of reports. I've been told, talking face-to-face with so many people, you know, who have become friends of mine, who have told me that they've had this kind of thing happen, that I literally, you know, have had to step back and say, you know, I can either discount all these like everyone else chooses to do, or I can try and look for meaning beneath that. And it seems that whatever way you want to choose to look at it, whether it be through, you know, ancient magical practices, esoteric mystical practices, or, you know, the what I call the full throttle induced kind of you know, experiences, which I talk about in the molecule section of my book. Those are the really fun ones, and I think that's what Chris is wanting to get around and talk about. You know,
yes, I think I would agree. We only have less than an hour left with this episode of the Paracast. I think we should move head first, full steam ahead.
Full throttle.
Why not? Then no time like...
Hammer down.
No time like the present.
Put the pedal to the metal.
As long as we're not up on a break, we'll go ahead and we'll dive into it then, I propose.
Close, but 3 minutes away. You have a bit of time.
Yeah, well, you know, the mouth of the South, as they call me, I'll do my best. Cram as much in there as possible. And they do call me
the loud mouth of the South. Just wanted to clarify that.
Can anyone imagine why they would call me something like that? I just...
No.
But anyway. The third section of the book, Magic, Mysticism, and the Molecule, deals with molecules. What I'm specifically referencing here are entheogenic molecules, things like dimethyltryptamine, and also adrenochrome and other things believed to have hallucinogenic properties. I talk a good bit about, you know, certain variations of what's called ayahuasca, that's a brewed beverage, a tea sort of that's made in South America. Which clearly, you know, not all kinds of ayahuasca are entheogenic and will produce hallucinations, but a number of them do. And the reason why is because the liana plant, which is, you know, akin to all plants that are all recipes of the ayahuasca brew, works in conjunction chemically with ingredients in certain other regional variations of that recipe, and they produce a psychedelic compound, dimethyltryptamine. Well, actually, they don't produce it. What they do is they allow it to be, you know, consumed in the body and not be broken down when consumed orally like that, and therefore it induces hallucinations. If you were just to take DMT, for instance, and eat it, as I understand it, that wouldn't have an effect on you. You know, you have to have the what is it? Is it beta carbolines, monoamine oxidase inhibitors that would keep it from breaking?
It's an MAO inhibitor, right?
Yeah,
that allows the body to absorb it. Yeah,
right, exactly. And of course, I go into all that in my book, you know, talking about that. So, people who have these experiences, point being, and I even talk about, you know, Abbie Hoffman and some of the early LSD experiences and things like that, often do describe encounters with, for instance, one of the well-known archetypes of the psychonauts is the praying mantis being. Interestingly, a lot of people who have, you know, UFO abduction stories also recount meeting these praying mantis beings. And 9 times out of 10, and especially if you want a good primer on this, read Dr. Rick Strassman's book, DMT, the Spirit Molecule, where many of the participants in that DEA-approved study in the 1990s, where they were administered dimethyltryptamine, they said this experience, we would go into this technological environment, we would see beings, it was so real you couldn't tell us if we hadn't known we were using a substance, that what we had experienced was not, in fact, real and valid. And so it's very interesting because, again, altered states of consciousness seem to take people to this area where they reach a state, a place, some call it, that strangely is inhabited. They aren't like us, but they're enough like us that we seem to have something to share, some sort of information, some sort of an exchange that's supposedly occurring. And whether that be through Jewish mysticism or Christian mysticism, magical rituals and practices, or, you know, inducing altered states of consciousness, which isn't something I'm telling people to go out and do. It can be very, very dangerous, but I talk about it in the book because people have done this, and this is another way that they've reached these states where they meet these beings. There seems to be some sort of a singularity, some sort of a similarity between these experiences and what people are describing.
Let's do the break right now. We have Micah Hanks. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
expect professional service from your doctor, your accountant, and even the girl who takes your morning coffee order. Why not from your domain registrar, too? Namecheap.com provides stellar service with no sneaky upselling. We offer more features and security options for your website than there are ways to order a latte. And new domains come with a WhoisGuard to protect your personal info. At Namecheap.com, you can get your domain for as low as $2.99. Now is a great time to get to know Namecheap.com.
For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Hello again, I'm back. This is John Swinson at Midas Resources. And I want to address a couple of issues that I hear about daily when we're talking about gold and silver. First, is there anything to suggest that sunny skies are just ahead? We continue to print fiat dollars, inflation worsens, there's civil unrest around the world, and the demand for gold and silver has never, ever been higher. Next, if you heard that possessing metals is a complicated process, I assure you that whether we're discussing a direct purchase or an IRA rollover, this is a simple, straightforward transaction. This is all about protecting your assets, and frankly, what are your options? Stock market? Real estate? Metal certificates? I don't think so. Please call me, 800-686-2237, extension 128. I promise a casual conversation, no pressure, no nonsense. I'm John Swinson at 800-686-2237. Extension 128, and I sincerely look forward to hearing from you.
If you own a septic system, or if you're facing costly septic system replacement, this message is for you. When you want to stop paying for pump outs and avoid backups, when you've had enough of the foul odors and costly repairs, use BioSafe One Septic Solution. Now there's an easy-to-use, 100% guaranteed answer to all your septic system problems. BioSafe One Septic Solution. BioSafe One is patented and made specifically for all septic systems, and made by the same team of scientists who helped clean up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. BioSafe One decontaminates and removes sludge, stops costly pump outs and repairs, and removes septic system stench, all with a 100% success rate. See what gives BioSafe One Septic Solution the advantage over any other septic product at BioSafeOne.com. That's BioSafeOne.com. BioSafeOne.com. Or call toll-free 1-866-424-6663. That's 1-866-424-6663. BioSafe One, the guaranteed, bio-friendly, money-saving way to clean your septic system.
Dr. David Berry has provided excellent advice for all those interested in practical economics and sound money. It's certainly worth reading.
That's what Congressman Ron Paul said about Cha-Ching Wisdom, 123 Practical Universal Truths About Money, the new book by Dr. David Berry.
The cool part of this book, certainly it'll speak to you personally, your life, your lifestyle, your money, your investments, but it also can be generalized into the nation, what's going on as a nation. We do these same things personally that we do as a nation.
Dr. Berry's book, Cha-Ching Wisdom, presents many facets of your relationship with the once almighty dollar and how current national and international politics affect your daily life.
Some of the other things are about that. They're not just economic. They're philosophical. There's psychology involved in this book. There's philosophy involved in this book.
Read Cha-Ching Wisdom by Dr. David Berry, only $9.95. Available at ChaChingWisdom.com. That's ChaChingWisdom.com. ChaChingWisdom.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
There can be no question that you're in the Paracast, although Chris wondered for a moment because we were exploring other realities. And sometimes
I was having a flashback.
You see the flashbacks when you explore the other realities, and sometimes things become very strange. Sometimes, well, there's an episode, by the way, on Fringe this past week where several of the lead characters take LSD in order to meet in another reality to, I don't know, become cartoon characters. Don't ask me to explain. You have to watch the show. This is the Paracast. I'm Gene with Chris O'Brien. We have Micah Hanks. Chris, pick up on the questioning and the discussions.
Well, this brings to mind, I mean, we could do a whole show just on this subject, I think. I think that this is a very exciting, extremely underutilized methodology. I've been toying with the idea of, you know, kind of diving back into the psychonaut world, which I haven't been in for quite some years, although I must say in the early to mid-70s, I was, that pedal was through the metal, shall we say.
Full throttle.
Yeah, beyond full throttle in hyperdrive. But that's being said, I personally, you know, have imbibed on quite a number of occasions. We'll just leave it at that. And I never had any of the sort of other being type encounters or experiences, whether real or imagined. But I did experience what Terrence McKenna referred to as the voice, especially when psilocybin mushrooms were part of the equation. And this voice, I feel, is a very interesting subject. It's similar to a disembodied sort of, I wouldn't even know how to describe it. Again, we're getting into that whole thing of languaging and trying to describe the indescribable, but it definitely is something separate from you. It definitely has its own perspective and its own sort of wisdom, if you will, or in some sense of the word, almost a tricksterish kind of quality as well. I know it's an overused term here, but it's very appropriate. And one of the things that I've found is that these substances, if you even mention them in the same breath as any sort of investigative process, you are automatically just branded a nutcase. This guy obviously is a loose cannon. And so I've stayed away from this subject, and I really admire your courage, really, to come out and really make a case for a connection between altered states of consciousness and the experiences of people in the paranormal. And,
well, of course. Yeah.
And I think this is a very underutilized potential investigative tool as well. And I'm kind of toying around with designing an experiment that will feature certain investigators full throttle, other investigators not full throttle, and other investigators not knowing which are which, you know, kind of a double bind thing where you have impartial third party observers who don't know who's doing what, and just comparing notes at a particular location specific site, which I've already picked out. So this would be, I think, an example of one of the things I really admire about your work, and that is really looking forward, coming up with creative investigative ideas, and taking this thing to the next level. Obviously, we've been spinning our wheels in ufology for 60 years. The wheel, as far as I'm concerned, flew off a long time ago. And we really aren't making any forward progress. I think haunted site investigations, these types of altered consciousness approaches, I think are really important and will bring the field forward, I think. What are your feelings on that?
Well, you know, I mean, I think that, yeah, we have to revolutionize the way that we approach these sorts of things. You know, yes, there is a good bit of information that deals with, you know, what we call the psychonaut, psycho explorers, you know, people who would, you know, induce hallucinations, which, keep in mind, Carl Jung did this. Carl Jung, you know, who was one of the forefathers, you know, of modern psychology, didn't really come out quite to what extent he did this until a few years ago with the publication of his illustrated and illuminated
the red book.
The red book, that's fascinating.
First edition.
That's so fascinating, you know. And of course, as I understand it, Jung had begun to hear voices and see images and things like that in midlife, keeping in mind that he had described early in life feeling like, you know, that his psyche and his soul were kind of inhabited by two individuals, one that was the young boy, the schoolboy that he was, and one that was an 18th century European gentleman. You know, he described seeing, you know, a ghost emerge from his mother's bedroom one evening when he was a kid, and he was very bothered by these sorts of things. And then later in life, he began to hear voices and see images and spirits and things like that, and began to think, gee, I must be actually succumbing to psychosis myself. Now, how would somebody today be treated if they began to experience these sorts of things? They'd be doped up on medication or thrown in a hospital, and they'd be told that they were crazy for the rest of their lives. Carl Jung decides to induce hallucinations and try and learn from what he believed were some sort of, you know, some sort of elements of his own super ego or subconscious, you know, and that he wanted to try and understand the complete revelation, so to speak. He had a clash with his own subconscious, and what he learned was, the result was, you know, what he called active animation, and of course, you know, the basis for his, you know, theories about archetypes, which has become a foundation for some in modern psychology. Now, I'm not saying that everyone who claims that they have, you know, a hallucination, whether that be self-induced or, you know, just the onset of something which we would label psychosis. I'm not saying that that every individual who has this happen is actually having some sort of an otherworldly or a subconscious encounter with something unexplained that they should learn from. I do think, though, that maybe every instance of strange phenomena that is reported is not indeed, you know, what we would define, you know, as a clinical psychological aberration that should be treated through the prescription of medication. I think it's very sad that we tend to take people who have quote unquote problems, you know, ADHD or whatever, and we got to dope them up because you, according to our society's standards, are crazy. And that's just not acceptable. It's not healthy. You know, obviously Carl Jung was able to learn from it, but I realize it's a fine line that we draw. Saying who is crazy and who is not, and who can literally learn from their experiences with the unexplained. But the point is that obviously consciousness is a very difficult thing to describe. Reality is probably an impossible thing to describe. We have these encounters with strange phenomena. You talk about the voice that people describe when they're using psilocybin. And I talk, you know, I was, you know, I went and actually sat down and had dinner with a young man here from Asheville. He contacted me and said, I'd like to get together and talk because I've had some strange things going on, and I hear that you're someone who might be able to help with this. And he contacted me and told me that he had, on a number of instances, woke up and heard the voice of a woman whispering to him. And there was no one in the room. And he said, I don't feel like my house is haunted. It's a new house. I don't understand what's happening. You wouldn't believe how many people have contacted me and said that they'll wake up in the morning and hear a woman whisper to them, don't move, or something similar to that. I had a friend who told me about this, and he hears this woman say, don't move, and he goes, okay, and just lays there for 5 minutes, and then he jumps up out of bed, and he's ready to strike somebody, and he ended up asking his roommate later, did you have a girl over here staying the night last night? No, there wasn't anybody over here. And you hear about this, you know, and people start literally questioning their own sanity for years. And
we had a guest on recently where he had a voice tell him that the underground bases were real, and oh boy, did that ignite a firestorm on the Paracast forums. I'm referring to Dr. Richard Souter, of course, who went on to write the preeminent book on the subject, and he got validation from a mysterious disembodied voice that had a whole conversation with it.
Yeah, you know, I got a letter after I made some sarcastic comments about the voices, pointing me to research that had been done into being able to use machines to send those voices, disembodied voices, to people, a real-life scientific development. Who knows? Micah Hanks joins us this week. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to Mr. UFO at webtv.net. That's Mr. UFO at webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Sore throat? Spray that with Dermatol. Diaper rash? Spray that with Dermatol.
Ouch!
Burn or cut? Spray that with Dermatol for shockingly fast relief. If you had room for only one first aid product in your preparedness kit, you need Dermatol because it works on almost every skin irritation or injury. All natural Dermatol brings amazing relief to burns, cuts, scrapes, bites, boils, shingles, rashes, elderly skin tears, even chronic diabetic ulcers and bed sores. Dermatol is an all-natural, antimicrobial, antiviral, and antifungal wound cleanser that speeds healing with no side effects. It's safe for all ages and skin types, and is even safe enough to spray on sore throats or onto sore eyes. Read our many testimonials at Dermatol.com, spelled D-E-R-M-A-T-O-L.com. Order online at Dermatol.com or call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Effective, efficient, economical. Spray it all with Dermatol.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amounts. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
We're winding down, trying to understand the incredible mysteries, paranormal mysteries, strange creatures, strange events, and other things. Does it require taking some kind of substance to gain this understanding, or can you basically induce yourself to be more perceptive by meditation or something? Does it always have to be chemical?
That's a good question.
That is a good question. And actually, if you don't mind, I'll dive in there and I'll take a whack at that one. Without chemicals. Well, here's the thing. You know, when we talk about a self-induced hallucination, you know, maybe with the utilization of something like dimethyltryptamine, what we do know about that, very interestingly, is that not only is dimethyltryptamine a close chemical cousin of melatonin produced in our bodies, which regulates sleep, sex drive, and a number of things like that, dimethyltryptamine is also produced in the body. It is believed by Rick Strassman and others to emanate from the pineal gland, but we don't know for certain if that's where it's from. We do know that, you know, that blood can be, the levels of DMT can be measured in the bloodstream, you know, specifically, you know, after blood is extracted, you know, from a corpse when a person is recently deceased. And this lends itself, according to some, to the theory that maybe there is a release of DMT into the body at the time of death or just before, which is what causes, you know, these near-death experiences and things like that. And of course, people seeing angels while they're lying in the hospital bed on their way out. Thomas Alva Edison was very skeptical, very and almost atheist in his approach to, you know, the stranger aspects of life. And while he was lying on his deathbed, was said to have actually quoted something along the lines of, "They're so beautiful, I can see them over there," and then passed away. So, you know, we hear all these instances where people have things like this happen, and maybe not just at the time of death, maybe during, you know, extreme trauma or shock-induced, you know, scenarios where someone, you know, is maybe near death, hence Dr. Raymond Moody's term, the near-death experience. Perhaps the chemical reason behind that is the release of something like dimethyltryptamine into the bloodstream. So, you know, Gene, when we're talking about, you know, not inducing an experience or taking chemicals, you know, I think that there are always chemical components, but maybe those actually occur within our bodies. And the very same sorts of things, if we could open a metabolic pathway within ourselves, could occur without having to actually take something, you know, from outside our bodies. How that would occur is another great mystery. Some people describe that meditation seems to do this. And I think that, like all things that can be learned and acquired, that maybe, you know, the ability to control metabolic pathways, you know, in our bodies that could elicit, you know, ecstatic visions and things like that through perhaps meditation, breathing, exercises, ecstatic postures, yoga, things like that, it very well could be something that, you know, through time and practice could be tapped into and learned to control to a degree.
Well, you know, part of the problem, I think, what the skeptics are going to say, anytime you put chemicals into the picture, chemicals enter the picture, meditations, things like that, suddenly it's no longer real. It's just a product of your imagination that
exactly.
can't be any external reality. So the question is here, how do you demonstrate or validate an external reality?
The problem is you can't. And the truth of the matter is that even if we look at science, we have rigorous scientific, you know, methodology. We have the scientific method. We can quantify certain things that are observable in nature. And therefore, we write little theses, you know, theses and hypotheses about this is what we believe is occurring. But, you know, this is why I bring it back to philosophy. What do we really know? What do the five senses really tell us?
We can't even define consciousness.
We can't.
I mean, science has yet to really define consciousness because you need consciousness to define itself.
Exactly. You know, and it becomes kind of a, you know, a vicious circle. The mainstream scientific establishment believes, and this is the big problem, we believe because we have observed and we know that this is true and therefore these things outside of that are not. And frankly, I don't know that anything observable is truly quantifiable, you know, and that's the big problem. Well, you know, it has to be quantifiable to some degree. I mean, or else we're all just, you know, meat bodies floating out here in space. You know, yeah, I know it gets to be a very difficult argument. But the thing is once you begin to look at things like that and you realize how impossible it is to define reality, consciousness and all these things and realize that everything that we take as scientific fact is actually dependent entirely on our perspective of reality, which is something that we're continuing to revise and formulate, whether it be relativity, string theory, any of these things. And it's also dependent entirely on perception, which is dependent on what? Consciousness. We think we're consciousness. We think, therefore, we are, right? I believe a famous philosopher said that once. And therefore, here we are, but what do we really know outside the five senses? What inside our head can we really trust about what we observe? And if you realize and you accept that, then and only then, I think, can we open our mind to the possibility that there are things outside of what we would call conventionally observable, which shouldn't maybe be discounted entirely. Maybe meditation and maybe the strange phenomenon and the interrelationship between all these kinds of things, maybe there's something very valid about that. Maybe it's the very essence of our human subconscious and collective conscious, you know. It's the very heart of being human, and we're denying this incredibly important aspect of ourselves.
Right, and then we have to come up with the languaging to effectively communicate it to someone else. You have a whole, you know, filter and interpretive process that goes on there, and what is communicated may not be interpreted correctly by the person being communicated to. So
true.
It's a really slippery slope when you're dealing with this whole conundrum. And again, I think your book does a very good job of sort of looking at this in a new and different way and applying it from your own personal experiences and also from, you know, the obvious amount of, you know, intense research that you did to examine these subjects. And I personally feel that we need to come up with something. We need to come up with a new, you know, approach for investigation. We need to get really creative, get out of the box, because I think anything short of that is just going to have us sitting here spinning our wheels.
And, amen.
Testify,
brother.
Yeah. You know, I'm up on the pulpit. Forget the soapbox.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we have Brother Chris and Brother Micah.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, okay. Goodness.
This has become the Religious Power Hour, ladies and gentlemen. From Piedmont, Alabama.
I believe.
No, I got my start in radio in a place called Piedmont, Alabama. And the radio station, I don't even know if it still exists, called WPID. And I asked somebody, what does that mean? It means, well, Piedmont is dead.
Well.
And the first morning, Sunday morning I was there, we had some religious organization. And they came in there and they did their show. And I learned in broadcasting school, I learned in college, that you didn't want to overdrive the modulation. Otherwise, if you did, the FCC might cite you. Now, of course, before they had all these limiters and stuff that control the volume at real radio stations.
Right.
So this brother, whoever, and his crew, they'd get in there and he'd start preaching very soft, so I turn up the level. And then he got louder, and I turned down the level, and it got louder. And suddenly it was so loud I thought I could open the door and the entire town could hear him screaming and yelling. And then he talked about the sinners. And he looked squarely at me.
Ooh,
that hurt. That's my experience.
Oh, boy.
Chapman's Chapel, it was called.
Because you were moderating his volume.
That's right.
You didn't even need to do a broadcast. You could open the door and the whole town would have heard the guy.
That was it.
Oh, fascinating, Gene.
He never came back the following week.
Did he not, really?
No, he didn't.
Because Piedmont's dead.
Something died.
You know, we're going to get letters now. Because we're heard in Atlanta. You know, Piedmont was halfway between Birmingham and Atlanta. We have an Atlanta outlet picking this up. So I'm kind of expecting that somebody who listens to us in the southern part of the U.S. is going to write a letter and saying, oh, that crazy Steinberg character from New York, and he's ragging on southern preachers. And why would he do something like that? What's the matter with him? And you know what? In those days, in another town in which we live, Tuscumbia, near Muscle Shoals, where they have all those famous recording studios, one of our close friends was a local preacher who was co-owner of the country music radio station. What a strange history I have lived.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Intriguing. We can spend an entire
place.
An hour of phenomenology with Gene Steinberg.
Reminiscing about things that have nothing to do with the paranormal, or they have a peripheral relationship that I can't discern. That's how it goes. We have Micah Hanks, and he has something called the Graylian Report, which is about gray aliens and any other color and Mothman and all sorts of strange, unusual mysteries. And we've been covering some of the stuff, and we'll be kind of bringing it all home. We'll bring it all home in our final segment with Micah. Micah Hanks joining us. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Do you suffer from adrenal fatigue? Did you know that mercury from your dental fillings can deposit into your kidneys and adrenals and cause them to lose up to 60% of their functional capacity? I've had first-hand experience with the damage mercury can do to the body. I've made it a life's work to figure out what went wrong after I got two large mercury fillings put into my teeth. I also know the most effective means by which the body can remove mercury. It has to do in large part with how well your liver functions and how much glutathione your cells produce. The number one superfood that supports optimal levels of glutathione is cold processed whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is unheated whey protein from grass-fed cows. It is the most bioactive, undenatured whey protein on the market. People are reporting health improvements from this one product that I've not seen in 20 years of clinical nutritional practice. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit OneWorldWhey.com. That's OneWorld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Music from our guest, Micah Hanks. It comes down to this with Micah Hanks on the PowerCast with Gene and Chris. We're exploring incredible mysteries, and I guess we could just go into any question we've asked and do two shows worth from each one. But I kind of wonder, Micah, all the areas that we're covering, a lot of them tend to be alien to traditional science. They don't want to look at this stuff. They don't want to look at things, well, maybe you take a substance or maybe you meditate. Maybe you see something that we don't have in our textbooks. So how do you encourage such people to investigate this stuff? Because we really need to know what's going on.
Well, I suggest that you must be scientific. You know, you must, you know, I recommend go to your area thrift shops or a Goodwill store or something like that. I spend a lot of time combing through used bookstores where I can get, you know, all kinds of books. I don't go out always looking for something. I go out to see what I'll find. I find books about, oh gosh, you wouldn't believe all the different kinds of things, you know, but a lot of the time you'll also find textbooks. Pick up a textbook on schizophrenia or, you know, psychological aberrations. Pick up a textbook about the scientific method. Pick up a textbook about physics. You know, grab something that you can, you know, because the thing is you can find anything you want inexpensively, and you'll find even more things that you didn't know that you wanted, but that you'll want when you see them. Get books, learn, you know, but do understand the scientific method. You know, I have a little beginner's guide to the scientific method that, you know, is usually incorporated into, you know, general science and biology courses and community colleges and things like that. And I'll review that every now and then. You will learn from this to be careful drawing patterns and associations and parallels between seemingly unrelated phenomena. A real quick example, you know, we could say that for instance, that people who make a lot of money typically are older. Now, older people also are typically going to be more inclined to wear glasses because, you know, as one progresses throughout their years and everything, their eyesight diminishes somewhat. So can we draw a correlation between younger people who are not wealthy and or rather not younger people who are not wealthy, can we draw a correlation between people who are wealthy and people who have poor eyesight, knowing that maybe traditionally a person who's worked their entire life and set back more money are going to have more money, but their eyesight also diminishes. Younger people who haven't worked as long don't have as much money, better eyesight. Can we say that there's a direct relationship between less income and good eyesight? I don't think so. You know, that's the thing. You do have to be careful sometimes when you draw associations and correlations between things. And coming back to Mothman, which we opened the show discussing, did Mothman cause the collapse of the Silver Bridge? Probably not. I think that it's difficult to infer. And I know that would incite fury among a lot of people who have studied this stuff for a long time. What about the death lists? What about the reports of strange phenomenon, occurring in tandem with bad luck? I won't deny that that's the case, and that's why I bring up some of the lesser known, entities like Walking Sam, even the Leaping Louts along the line of Parak, the Spring Man of Prague, which was kind of a variation of the Leaping Fiend of London, the infamous Spring Hill Jack. A lot of these Fortean characters, who in all likelihood, many of them are either the result of folklore and folktales or, hoaxes. But occasionally there has to be some truth behind some of this stuff. But whatever the case may be, wherever these ideas come from, they are very often associated with bad luck and misdeeds, misfortune and things like that. Does that mean that if Bigfoot shows up that, you're going to have a death in the family, or that if you see a UFO that you're going to lose your job? I don't think so. And I think that we have to be careful when we draw those kind of parallels, and infer things about phenomena that may not actually truly exist. I think that the big problem with ufology today is that we have spent the last several decades assuming that there is an elaborate alien hybridization program going on and that people are being abducted by creatures from outer space. Here's my opinion, and I'll tell you right now, if you want to know the truth, I don't think that we should look at alien abduction reports necessarily in tandem with UFO reports. Although sometimes the appearance of a UFO occurs in conjunction with people's claims of seeing beings and things like that. Sometimes I think that truly electromagnetic and other forms of radiation sometimes can induce hallucinations. We know that scientifically. We don't know who pilots these UFO crafts, but we can't deny that those are seen either, because the multitude of data that has been gathered, by various government agencies, and civilian organizations who sometimes have done a better job than the government agencies, we know that UFOs occur. We don't know who pilots them, from where they come, if someone pilots them, and if they are aliens, let alone whether people are being abducted from their homes at night. We know that we have evidence that suggests that, but have we jumped to conclusions and drawn parallels between two perhaps unrelated phenomena that just appear to have some sort of a relationship? Is there a correlation that's been made there over the years that may not exist? I think it's very likely. And however strange they may sound to people, more and more information is coming out about the field of UFO and abduction research that seems to be pointing in directions other than where we've been looking. And to kind of capitalize on something Chris said, and has kind of been a theme that Chris has been brought up bringing up throughout the program, we need to look at strange phenomena, and we need to look at reports of the unusual a little differently. We need to stop taking for granted things that people have said for 100 years about strange phenomena, whether it be whether Mothman traditionally has wings as we know it, or whether it be, UFOs piloted by, God knows what or who. There's so much that we have assumed, so little that we do know, and so little that can be, scientifically justified. If we want to be taken seriously, the true scientific processes would not draw those kinds of correlations and make those bold assumptions without the evidence to back them up. So what are we really left with? Who knows? But that's what we're trying to find out.
Very good. Well stated.
Okay, so trying to figure out where the correlations are, and maybe one of the other things we see is whether or not paranormal researchers are stretching themselves to want to have everything be part of one singular mystery. Cryptozoology, strange creatures, UFOs, cattle mutilations, ghosts, everything has to fit into one basket. Does it?
If they do, I would say that has more to do with human perception and, again, consciousness than anything, and how we perceive strange phenomena. That's the question. I think that sometimes, there's that old, I think it was a Chinese proverb that said that, sometimes the path, the process of getting to some place is more important than actually reaching the destination. And I think that the same thing may be the case with strange phenomena. We look at creatures like a Bigfoot, and we focus so much on what is the meaning of this? Why was he there? What was that thing doing there at that time, on that date, in that location? obviously it wouldn't be an issue why he was there or what he was doing there, that Sasquatch on that date at that time. It wouldn't be an issue if it didn't mean something to us. What is the significance? What is the meaning that we take on as humans and that keeps us interested and that keeps us fascinated, this desire to know? As humans, we want to do that. You know, we want to understand our surroundings. We want to know why. And the reason these things are unexplained and often outright dismissed is because they just fall so far outside what we call reality. But the thing is I think that the interrelationship we have with strange phenomena, we need to understand that. We need to understand the meaning. Why is it that we are so interested in this? What can we learn from our fascination and the potentials that could exist, aside from just trying to categorize and gather reports of these things? We can do that all day, and people have been doing that for decades. But what have we learned? You know, we've got a lot of books that describe reports of UFOs and encounters with Bigfoot and things like that, but people aren't trying to look at those encounters, and they're not trying to understand the meaning of the interrelationship, you know, and that's what I kind of think what we have to do. But in terms of, is there some sort of something that interconnects all this? If there is, again, I think that has more to do with understanding that interrelationship, human perception, and what it has to do with consciousness in general.
Well, it also goes back to whether there is a mystery to be found anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, that goes back to the basic question, not why are they here, but who are they? And if we resolve who they might be, and that goes for UFOs or any of these other mysteries, then maybe we would be in a position to figure out why they're here, and maybe we're not meant to know that. Maybe they don't want us to know, or they want us to know in little tidbits as we're ready to know the next tidbit of information, and so we keep on the quest, but we never quite get there, but we keep moving on. Micah Hanks, where do we find more of the stuff that you write and talk about?
Well, I'm writing prolifically these days for mysteriousuniverse.org, and you can, of course, visit that URL and read mine and Nick Redfern's articles, My Brother from Another Mother. You know, Nick and I are going to have to write a book eventually together because we keep popping up in all the same places. UFO Magazine, Intrepid Magazine. Do check out intrepidmagazine.com. That's a new magazine I've been working with, along with Scott Roberts, good friend. And, you know, that's been a wonderful project and a great undertaking for us. But, of course, you know, Micah Hanks' personal blog, The Graylien Report, is www.graylienreport.com. And you can always get your strange and unusual news updates there.
Chris O'Brien, where do we find your stuff?
Well, I tend to be on the forum.paracast.com boards quite a bit. And also I have my own website, OurStrangePlanet.com.
And we have a link now in the Paracast forum, so you go there with a single click. Micah Hanks, thanks for joining us this week on the Paracast.
Always my pleasure.
Paracast is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.